Father, I just thank you for the Holy Spirit. I thank you that he helps me. I just thank you that he leads me and directs me. And Father, I have notes. I have things written down here, and they come from your word, so they're good. But Father, we also want to make sure that we let the Holy Spirit speak in to this service during this time where your word is ministered. So I yield, I submit myself to you, trust you, and thank you for the ability to speak the oracles of you, to speak the truths of you. And I thank you, Father, that people are here not because they have to be, but they're here because they want to be. They're here in faith. And I thank you that you honor people's faith, and you will pour into their lives this morning even more so, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I have a title, which I don't always have, and the title is Carriers of the Kingdom. And that is what we are as children of God here on the face of this earth. We get to carry God's kingdom to this world. Amen? Now, you're not all going to get real quiet on me again and make you stand up, are you, and turn you loose? Because if you do, I will. I mean, I'm not beyond that. It's amazing what we have. It's amazing what God has put on the inside of us. It is amazing what we get to take to this world. And, you know, just, we've all prayed this prayer, I believe. We've heard this prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But, you know, one of the greatest ways that God wants to accomplish that is through us. That is one of the greatest ways that he wants to accomplish that. But I'll bet you, in our minds and in our thinking, most of the time, when we pray that prayer, we get someplace, we maybe kneel down or sit down, and we pray, God, thy kingdom come. And in our mind's eye, maybe you don't all do this, but in our mind's eye, we're seeing God over there somewhere causing his kingdom to come, and we're over here. But a reality is, God wants to bring his kingdom into this world through you and I, through his children, through believers. We get to play a huge role in that. We get to play a significant part in that. Thank God. I don't know. I go back sometimes. I remember what life was like before I was a Christian, and really had no purpose, had no direction, had no meaning. You know, just trying to get through it. Actually, I was trying to escape it because I didn't like life. And then now God's given me, he's given all of us as believers, a purpose that has eternal value, that impacts forever. Wow. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you for something that really, really matters. Even though the enemy tries to make us feel and think at times it doesn't matter and that we don't matter and what we do doesn't matter, yet what we do matters. We get to help facilitate and bring the kingdom of God to this world. So, carriers of his kingdom. Now, as we get into that, I'm going to take what will appear to be kind of an odd roundabout way to get there, but we'll get there. Take your Bibles, open up to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, and for folks that have been here on a number of Sundays in a row lately, I've been turning to this a lot. There's just been a lot of truth in me, but I really, truth in it for me, but I really want to get to verse 11 today, but I got to start reading at verse 1 again. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12, going to start reading at verse 1, and trusting God, we get everything out he wants out, and we get to where he wants us to get to. Amen. How many believe God with me for that? Get out everything he wants to get out. You receive everything he wants you to receive, and we get to where he wants us to get to. Amen? And somebody might say, and quickly. So, verse 1, Hebrews 12. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. For you have not resisted to bloodshed in striving against sin. One of the first things I want to do is bring out this. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, I promise. But I found it very interesting of late when I was reading these. In verse 1, he talks about laying aside unnecessary weights and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And then in verse 4, you have not yet it resisted to bloodshed in striving against sin. And right in between those, it's like those two verses are the bread of the sandwich. And right in between those two verses, and think about those two verses, the bread of the sandwich, they're talking about sin in our lives and us not letting sin have its way. Amen? And the meat of the sandwich is looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Consider him who endured. You know, Jesus has something to say to us about victory over sin. Amen? And it's right there in that context. He has got, and like we talked about last week, how many of you know you don't have to sin? I would have taken a stronger amen on that point since I just preached about it last Sunday. How many of you know you don't have to sin? Thank you. Praise God. We don't have to. The Bible says, be holy, for he is holy. Amen? Glory to God. But that's one of those things that the church world and places has believed for a long time, that it's inevitable that I'm going to sin. We just kind of accept it. But the Bible says, reckon yourselves dead to sin. Consider yourselves dead to sin. In other words, the Bible says, think about yourself as somebody who doesn't sin. I got one. You know, but we don't think that way, do we? For a lot of people who are Christians, they don't think that way. They just think, well, I'm going to sin. Maybe don't go, I'm going to deliberately go out and sin, but it's inevitable, isn't it? Amen. I don't know where that no came from. I like it. Same place I got my amen from. Glory to God. Brian, would you learn to be a ventriloquist and like throw your voice to this side and this side, this side, all at the same time? So I think I'm getting multiple amens and go ahead, preach it, pastor. Anyway, I don't want to spend a lot of time on that subject matter. Okay, but Jesus Christ, our victory over sin. Not just the sins that we have committed in the past, and not just the sins that he took away on the cross, but the sins and the traps that the enemy sets in our future. Jesus is our victory over those sins also in this. He knows how to steer us around them. Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph and manifest through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. You know, we that's one of my favorite verses of Scripture. Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph. Well, doesn't that then make sense that he would always lead us in triumph over sin? I mean, honestly, is he going to lead me into sin? No, he won't lead me into sin. He'll always lead me into triumph over it. Glory, I am so glad that I don't have to sin. Turn and look at somebody and say, and neither do you. You know, and just, I'll tell you what, I'm being biblical and reckon yourselves to be dead to sin. The Bible tells you, consider yourselves dead to sin. And like I said last week, and I got people to say humorous with me as we went through it, dead people don't sin. Dead people don't sin. So if you're dead to sin, sin has no impact on you. It doesn't affect you. Glory to God. Say thank you, Jesus. Just go, you know, and if I get to the point, we're going to be talking about tweaking our thinking, changing our thinking. Just change how we think. Because, say this, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. One of the first places that needs to take place after a person has been born again is in thought life. We need to start to think the way heaven thinks. Oh, but you never know what God might do. God moves in mysterious ways. How about we go back and read all those verses of Scripture where it talks about, you know, just as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and they water the earth, and then the earth produces what the earth is supposed to produce, so shall his word be that goes forth from his mouth. God's word is intended to come into our mind and to come into our heart, change our thinking, change our believing, So through us, God's word can produce what he wants it to produce. Glory to God. Amen. But it's so vital for us to hook up and to start think like he's thinking. Amen. Now, I'll keep reading. Keep going. Verse 5. And you have not forgotten the exhortation, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom the Father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have human fathers who correct us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chasten us as seems best to them, but he for our profit. Oh, man. It's for our profit. It's for our profit. He'll chasten us. He'll talk to us. He'll discipline us for our profit. Amen. I remember telling my children, keep me in your corner. I'm one of your best assets. Keep me on your side. Keep me in your corner. You know God's for us. He's for us. He's in our corner. Amen. He's our greatest asset. Hallelujah. And he's going to chasten me. He's going to talk to me. He's going to discipline me for my profit. For my profit. For my good, which in turn is going to be for profit of others. Amen. Hallelujah. Tell you what, do you have any idea how much you have profited because he has disciplined me? There are people in this church, you know Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior because he disciplined me. That's the truth. Because if I wouldn't have heard, I would never have started sharing the gospel. And there's people, because of the plan, because of the call, because of what God had for my life, there are people that have gotten to meet Jesus Christ as a result of it. Amen? Talk to me, Father. Hallelujah. And every one of us ought to say that. God, talk to me. Okay, well, keep going. All right. Verse 10 again. For they indeed for a few days chasten us, as seems best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Verse 11. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Watch this. Nevertheless, afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Can I ask you a question? How many of you like the thought of the peaceable fruit of righteousness? Amen. You'd be okay with that? With the peaceable fruit of righteousness? Then what are we going to be trained by? Chastening. Amen. And it was so fun. I'm not going to read my notes here in the Bible, but as I was praying over this about a month or so ago, one of the things that God, you know, chastening, discipline, you know where he wants to chasten? You know where he wants to discipline us first? Thought life. In thought life. He wants to correct our thinking. Because if he can correct our thinking, wow, then he's able to change the course of future events. This is good, you guys. This is so true. If he can correct our thinking, and how many of you know our thinking needs corrected at times? But how many of you like it when somebody wants to help correct your thinking? We don't necessarily like it, just like the scripture says. We don't, it doesn't seem fun at the moment. But how many of you are thinking everything exactly right? So we all need some adjustment. We need some correction in how we think. Remember, we're talking about carriers of the kingdom. If my thinking isn't lined up with the Father's thinking, isn't lined up with the way that the Father wants to do things, there's going to be a problem in the kingdom of God, the will of God, being able to get through me to the degree that He wants it to get through me. You know, and how many times does the enemy try to feed us things like this? You're not worthy. Or things like, well, if you just get your act together, then I could use you. How many of you know He can use us? Now, it doesn't mean that we shouldn't always be striving to study the Scripture daily, to learn what they say, that we want to be vessels of an honored, we want to sanctify ourselves from these unholy things, that we'll be vessels fit for the Master's use. It doesn't mean that we don't have a part to play and that we shouldn't grow. I am not saying that. But so many times the enemy will come and lie and talk to us in our thinking, and God can't work through us to the degree that He wants to work through us. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In God being able to bring His kingdom to this world through us, one of the things that He's going to want us to do is change the way that we think. Remember one time, if folks that have been here for a while have heard this, but those of you visiting haven't, and it's still it's a great little thing that God put in my heart. Driving down to Hot Springs, we'd do Sunday night services down there, and the Lord just asked me a question on the inside. He said, "Joel, can you be right about everything?" Now, how many of you know I did not like that question? Because if I was going to be honest, there was only one answer. And I did not want to admit that. You ever been there? Isn't it amazing how God can get you to a point with one little simple question and put the truth right in front of you, and you're like, "Oh, let's just talk about something else, God." But, "Joel, can you be right about everything?" And I didn't answer right away. We're going back and forth a little bit. I'm not wanting to say what I know the honest answer is. "Joel, can you be right about everything?" So finally, I answered him and said, "No." Turn, and let me ask you a question. Can you be right about everything? Well, I got about a third of you answered that. How many of you can be right about, can you be right about everything?
No.
Okay, so you're in the same boat I was in. So then I answered that. I answered God and said no. And He had another question for me. And He said, "What are you wrong about?" Oh, He's amazing. I am not smart enough to come up with questions like that, you guys. That's God. There's no way I would put those two together and come up with them, you know? It's, "What are you wrong about?" And here, truthfully, at that point in time in my life, I didn't know of anything that I was deliberately wrong about. But the question brought me to a point of, if I can't be right about everything, then I must be wrong about something. Now, my lightning quick mind went a year later to finally ask God, "What am I wrong about?" See, I didn't ask Him back then. He probably would have started telling me back then. What was God wanting to get across to me? "Joel, I'd like to tweak your thinking. Joel, there's some areas in your life that I would like to bring some discipline. I would like to bring some chastening because you're not thinking correctly. And I would like you to think correctly and get in line with me so that I can bring more of what I have for people through you." And those who have been trained by discipline of the Lord in our mind, it brings about the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Oh, and to get to have that, the peaceable fruit of righteousness. So I desire, how many of you desire, "God, please talk to me. I'll listen to you. I will listen to you. I will hear." And you know what? It's far better to have Him talk to us in our mind than for us to keep rebelling and have circumstances of life get really hard and bring tough things into our life because we wouldn't listen to his instruction. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. How many of you have to sin? See, that's one of those areas where we need to tweak our thinking. I don't have to sin. Amen? I don't have to. Well, it's inevitable. Who said? Who said? Does the Bible say after we get born again that it's inevitable that we will sin? Didn't Jesus say to a person, go and sin no more? Jesus told a person to go and sin no more, so it must be possible for that person to sin no more. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. That's just an example. How many examples are there in our life where God would just like to adjust our thinking a little bit? And here's one of those, in that we're carriers of the kingdom. We carry more than we acknowledge. We carry more than we know. You know, this question here. What were Jesus' props? What were all the mechanics of what Jesus used to bring the kingdom of God to this world? What did he use? Yeah, he used God's power, the Holy Spirit on the inside of him. He didn't have a bunch of props. He had the word and the power of God to bring the kingdom of God into this world. Guess what we have? That same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in us. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. The love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the power of the Holy Ghost. Okay, I can have fun with this. Some of you have heard it before. But, you know, anybody ever in here ever prayed and asked God for patience? And everybody ever done it like this? God, I need patience and I need them now. Right, okay. But did you know you already have patience? If you are born again, if Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you already have patience. You maybe just don't know you have them. But the Bible says that the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the power of the Holy Ghost. And then you go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and it says, love is patient. Guess what I already have? I already have patience. For the longest time, and even after I got saved, I just didn't know I had them. And all I needed to do was turn them loose. I just needed to let them out. Because they were already in there. I already had them. And my wife can testify, I was a person with a huge temper, extremely explosive temper, just major. And got born again and still working on that. And then I got a job as an orderly in a nursing home. You got to remember, I had worked outside all my life, up on the mountain, and then logging, and now to be an orderly in a nursing home. And one day something happened, and I'm a Christian, and I want my light to shine. And one day, this elderly person grabbed onto my hand to steady themselves, and I jerked away. And two nurses who weren't believers were watching. I dislike that on multiple levels. What a horrible witness. What an insensitivity to that elderly person. Just sad. Just sad on my part. But that's where I learned it going to school at Rhema. The love of God has been shed abroad in my heart by the power of the Holy Ghost. Love is patient. Therefore, I am patient. I am patient. Friends, I can tell you what. There was a marked difference in me when I would go to work, and it was about a 20-minute drive. I'd go into that nursing home. I am patient. 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 I'd say it for I don't know how many times in a row for 10, 15, minutes down the road. I am patient. I am patient. That was the truth. I am patient, I am patient, I am patient. And I'd go to work that day and I'd be patient. It was amazing. Absolutely amazing. See, because we carry that. What do you carry that maybe you don't know you carry? Carriers of the kingdom. Go with me to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. You getting anything out of this today? Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. I like to say this. I like to say this a lot. The kingdom of God comes to us in seed form. The kingdom of God comes to us in seed form. Now let me change it a little bit, and they're both true. The kingdom of God comes to us in word form. God's word is the seed that gets sown in our heart and gets sown in our mind. Amen? Now watch this. Watch these verses of scripture. There's two parables here, and one is the parable, one is the scripture for our church. But in verse 26, Mark 4, verse 26 is the first one. The kingdom of God, everybody say kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and they should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow, and he himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself. First the blade, then the head, after that full grain in the head. And when it is grown, it ripens, and immediately he puts in the sickle, and because the harvest has come. So what's the kingdom of God like? Like a fellow scattering seed. So what is the seed? If you were to back up further in Mark, the sower sows the word. Satan comes immediately and tries to take away the word, tries to take away the seed, tries to take away the truth, tries to take away the liberty, tries to take away the freedom, tries to take away the discipline. How does God want to discipline us? With his word in our mind, in our thought life. And if Satan can take away the discipline, then we'll keep running with the stinking thinking and not be producing the kingdom of heaven. Amen? That's one of the reasons that Satan fights so hard to take away the word from us, because the kingdom of heaven is in the word. Wow. Wow. That is awesome. The kingdom of heaven is in the word. And we get to receive the word. Verse 30. And he said, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it? It is like a mustard seed, which when it is sown on the ground is smaller than all the seeds of the earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all the herbs and shoots out large branches. And so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. I've got a series that I do. I have a book that I should write. And the title of that book is My Life as a Tree. All of our lives, we should receive the word of God into our lives. And when that word of God gets sown in our thinking and in our heart, it grows. And then it produces. And it shoots out large branches. And then the birds of the air, or then other people, can come and rest. They can come and partake. They can come and receive. Amen? So I love that thought. The kingdom of God comes to us in seed form. And God adjusts our thinking. He changed our thinking. How many of you are going to just keep taking in the word of God? Just keep taking in the word of God. Keep taking in the truth of God. Just keep taking it in and taking it in and taking it in. I got a lot more. And I asked this question. What did Jesus, what were his props that he had? He had the word of God and the Holy Spirit. He had the love of God and the Holy Spirit and the word of God. Amen? That's what he had. How many of us have that? You got the Holy Spirit. You got the Word of God. You got the love of God. Guess what we are carriers of? We're carriers of the kingdom. We get to go places and just jump the kingdom of God all over people. Amen? Amen. But see, I don't want to mess it up in my thought life. Let me. Oh, goodness. Somebody say, this guy's got a lot to share with us today. But I'm going to go to my last verse of scripture right here in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 is going to be our last verse of scripture. Verse 2, Romans 12, 2. And you got something out of this?
Amen?
Amen? You know, and I got a bunch of scriptures in my notes that I didn't look at. The love of God has been shed abroad in our heart by the power of the Holy Ghost. How many of you got the love of God inside of you? How many of you can go out and just hug somebody and love on somebody? Gabe and Charity at our last meeting, Charity was telling people on the missions trip that's going, don't think what you do isn't going to have an impact. And then she shared how she got done speaking at a service and she came down off the platform. And all she did is just walked up and gave this lady a hug, and they just exchanged a hug and went on. That was it. Well, she comes back a year later, and she talks to that lady. And that lady said, you didn't know any of this, but when I was listening to you last week or last year, and then you came down and you gave me that hug, I was due to go have a hysterectomy. But after that hug, I went into the back into the doctors, and they checked me out, and I didn't need no hysterectomy. We're carriers of the kingdom. We're carriers of the love of God. We're carriers of the miraculous. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of ourselves. We have this treasure. Did you know that treasure that we have inside of us, the Bible says it's a treasure that exceeds the glory that Moses had when he came down off the mountain with the Ten Commandments. That's what the Bible tells us we have. That's what that treasure is. It's greater than the glory that was on Moses when he came off the mountain. We have that treasure in us. But if we don't know it, and if we don't believe it, think we'll carry it and let it go? Friends, what you carry, what you have inside of you, the amazing potential you have, the kingdom of God, it comes through His Word. The love of God has been shed abroad. That same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. We have this treasure in earthen. Why don't you turn and look at somebody and something like this, just go, wow, you're loaded. Man, you are. You're loaded. The stuff you carry around with you, man. Oh, my goodness. But yet, every one of us in here, I dare say, the enemy has told us and tried to convince us you don't really have anything to offer. You'd be shocked to know how many times it runs through my head, nobody cares to hear what I have to say. You'd be shocked to know how many times I have to fight past that stinking lie. What do you have to fight past? What are the lies that the enemy teaches you? What are the lies that the enemy tells you? The things that he tries to get you to believe. Because, see, if he can get us thinking wrong, he can keep the kingdom from flowing through us. All right, I said Romans chapter 12, so we're gonna read it. Verse 2, Romans 12. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and the acceptable and the perfect will of God. Let me just think about that for a little bit in light of what we've been saying. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do we renew our mind? The Word of God. Amen? And I like to put this, if your mind isn't renewed by the Word, then you're conformed to the world. And the world would tell you, you don't have quite enough money. You're not hanging out with the right group. The world will tell you all kinds of things why you can't. Amen? But God will tell you, you can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens you. There's a big difference between what the world tells us and what God tells us. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I love this, that you may prove. That you may prove the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know what's in that verse right there? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're bringing the will and the plan and the kingdom of God to this earth and letting people see it. Amen? And it happens through all kinds of different ways. It might be a hug. It might be praying for somebody. It might be sharing your story. I heard Lori Steinhauer's testimony and a lot more just last night. There was a couple of people just talking, and this one person was telling this other person about salvation, and Lori was listening. And she was involved in Christian groups, but she wasn't a Christian. She grew up in church, but she wasn't a Christian. And she was at college involved with Christian ministries. Can you remember the name of it? SOS, sing something. So you would think she's a Christian, but she isn't. And then she hears somebody telling somebody else the gospel of Jesus and what it means. And Lori goes, oh, that's what all that means. And she accepted Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior by eavesdropping in on someone else's conversation. Did you know a conversation you have with someone else can bring this person over here to the Lord? And then Lori went on. It was during the Jesus Freak movement in the early 70s. She impacted her college. She impacted her friends. She's got a list of people who got born again within months after that, and they're still walking with the Lord today. All from eavesdropping in on a conversation. Why? Because in that conversation, the kingdom of God was carried and given. Let's go ahead and stand up. Amen. Wow. If just a tenth of what was in my heart came out, you're blessed. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Every day, more and more. Hallelujah. Let's see. Well, we're going to get to do it this way today. I get to be the prayer. Let's see. Jan, do you want to come up, or you got stuff you need to do afterwards? Okay, amen. All the other prayers are out ministering. Hallelujah. You know, they're at Hills Alive, they're at different places, they're doing things like that. But here's how we bring our services to an end. We never end a service without giving people a chance to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And just because you're in church on a Sunday doesn't mean you're born again. Just because you're in church doesn't mean you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So I don't just assume that. You're here, and if you've never said yes to Jesus, or if you're like, let me ask this question, when you die, and which we are all going to do that, we're going to die, where are you going? You know, and if you say heaven, I hope, I'd like to remove that hope. Because how many of you know your eternity in heaven does not have to be a hope-so? It can be a no-so. Those who have the Son have eternal life. If you're in this building today and you don't have a no-so salvation, where you know that you know that you know that you know you're going to heaven when you leave this world, I'd like you to come forward and we'd pray with you and introduce you to Jesus Christ. Just let you meet him and let your sins be washed away. Amen? And there might be someone say, well, yeah, I'm going to heaven, and then I'd ask why. Oh, because I've been a good person. You're going to be really disappointed if you stick with that. Because that's being a good person doesn't get us into heaven. There's only one way, and that's Jesus Christ. Amen. So if you've never met him, if you've never been forgiven of your sin, and we have all sinned, that's no big secret. Don't pretend like you haven't, because you have. We all have. We just get forgiven in Jesus, and we become new creatures. And then we have purpose on this earth, and we have something to do that has eternal impact. Amen. Or if you need healing in your body, or you just want someone to pray with you and just get, you know, Holy Spirit give you direction. Anything you want prayer, just come on up and pray with you. So we're going to say a word of prayer. And when I get done praying, you are free to slip out and hug somebody and love on them and have a great day. Amen. Heavenly Father, right now in Jesus' name, I just thank you for this time. I thank you for this morning. I thank you for the truth of your word. And I thank you for the working of the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Father God, how he teaches us truth. And I thank you, God, that you will correct our thinking. You'll discipline us in our thought life. And when we're thinking wrong and thinking things we're not supposed to think, you'll bring correction. We actually long for that. We actually welcome it. We actually desire it. Even though we might fuss and resist, we actually want it. We want to receive that truth, because in that truth is freedom. In that truth is liberty. So thank you for that, Father. And none of us are old enough or to the point where we've arrived and we don't need any more training. We don't need any more teaching. That's not the case. So, Father, thank you. And God, if there is anyone in this building who's never met Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I pray right now the Holy Spirit would talk to their heart and would witness to them and just say, yeah, you want to go up there and you want to meet Jesus. You want to be forgiven. You want to have eternal life and purpose on this life, on this earth while you're here. And Father, if anybody needs healing in their body, if they need wisdom, they're searching for answers, direction, whatever it might be, thank you that you have that. You have that. Actually, praise you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to change it right now, you guys. I'm going to change it right now. Because how many of you are carriers of the kingdom? How many of you in here have something you would like God to speak to your heart? How many of you in here would have a prayer you would like to pray? You'd like someone to pray for you. That's what I'm trying to ask. Anybody in here, you want someone to pray for you? No? Okay, there's a hand over there. Chrissy's got a hand up. There's another hand in the back over there. Those of you that are there, look, because you know why? You're a carrier of the kingdom. Those of you standing around them, you're a carrier of the kingdom. You get to pray for them. Anybody in this group here want someone to lay hands on you and pray for you? We're not going to take long. How about in the middle section? Jim will take some. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's how we're going to do it again. And then just in a bit here, we're going to turn you loose. But instead of everybody coming up here, come on. We're all carriers of the kingdom. Amen. Father, right now, I just ask where people have raised their hand and said, pray for me. I want prayer. I pray right now, Father God, for those people. And I thank you that you put people around them. And Father, if there's anyone in here who ought to raise their hand, but isn't raising their hand, that they would right now, and the people around them could pray for them. Father, we love you, we worship you, praise you, give you the glory. We thank you for this service. We thank you for this time today. And then, Father God, as we go from here today, as we go out about our day, we go with you. Greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. That same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us, Father God. The love of you is in our heart, shed abroad, and we take that everywhere we go. So we thank you, Father. We praise you. We worship you. We give you the glory. We give you the honor. We thank you, and we love you, Father. In Jesus' precious name.